You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Good afternoon. So today, welcome. First of all, welcome everybody to Athena Protections podcast. We're working on that name, so just bear with us on that. Mm-hmm. But got now a staple to the team. We got our guest Marlon in the house, retired DPD. Welcome.
That's right.
Myself, Cool C, and then across the table from me, we got my man Dan.
Yep.
Before we get started, Dan, tell us how to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us.
All right, Athena Protection Service. You can reach us at 1-800-951-4866, or you can reach us on our website at athenaprotections.com or any social media sites through Athena Protection Service. And we provide security services, private investigation, and any consulting that you may need for security.
Awesome. And when you look us up on any of those platforms, make sure you're hitting that like button, you're sharing and subscribing, doing all those cool things for us. We appreciate it. So, Dan, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was wonderful.
Awesome.
It was wonderful. I had a full bottle of Patron and had some other alcohol I shouldn't have been mixing with and made it a long night, but we had fun.
Hey, awesome. How about you, Marlon? How was your Thanksgiving?
Hey, I had to do a lot of ripping and running to see y'all kind of family. Diabetes got me messed up. I can't eat the way I used to.
Oh,
I was barely able to eat one plate, and I didn't even take anything home. Didn't take any take home plates like I usually do.
Yeah, I went out in the first round, TKO. Oh, yeah. First stop, I had multiple stops on the plate or the docket, and I didn't make it to the second one. I was tapped out. But anyway, we got an interesting show today. Again, thank you, Marlon, for being here. Dan, let's get us started. What you talking about today?
All right, what we going to do, we going to recap some news for the week.
Okay.
And then we going to roll into some holiday safety things that I want to talk about that we can get back into.
Wow, okay. It's that time of year, most definitely.
It is that time of year. And what I saw during most of the week was a lot of people got shot. So, first story, this one was 5 days ago. 16-year-old shot while sitting in a car at Grand River and Schoolcraft. They still looking for suspect in that one. Victim was in stable condition.
Okay.
Yeah. Also in Detroit, had a man stabbed multiple times, thrown out a car, and left on the street.
Wow.
This one was kind of tough. They say police found the victim at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday at Woodward in Chicago. The victim was in the back seat of the car with a man and a woman. Stabbed him up, threw him out the car. They don't have any information right now on two suspects to give out.
Interesting.
Another shooting on the west side of Detroit, and this one was at Stoddard and Van Dyke. 16-year-old sitting in the front seat was hit, as well as a 17-year-old sitting in the back seat. Another shooting that took place. I don't know, it doesn't seem like they wasn't even involved in these shootings. They just getting
wrong
straight
place
shots
at the right time.
Well, like I said, bullets don't have no name on them.
Right. Yeah, this one was one dead, two seriously hurt, and triple shooting on the west side. One person was killed, two others seriously hurt. This Saturday morning, last week, on Detroit's west side. Shooting happened at 11:30 a.m. Manor Street near Finkel and Myers. One victim is critical, other one was temp serious. Multiple bullet wounds or bullet holes found in the car. Clinton Township, there was a man found guilty of murdering his sister and her boyfriend with a hammer. Left their bodies in trash bags.
Wow, with a hammer?
Yes. He attempted to say that he wasn't fit because of his bipolar disorder to stand trial, but they found him fit. And he ended up being found guilty on that one.
So he was able to go through trial.
Yes, they are holding him accountable for his actions. 26-year-old man out of Clinton Township there.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's scheduled to be sentenced December 17th. We got a Michigan assistant attorney general resigning after having a relationship with one of the rape victims.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The victim.
Yes.
Was this before or after the rape?
I'm going to say afterwards.
Was he the...
they didn't know.
Was he the prosecutor?
Yes.
That was handling the case?
Yeah, they dropped some of the cases.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
But he was dumb. I mean, there's no crime against that, but I'm like, you should have waited till you was
done with it
before you decided to.
Hey, it seemed like a good idea at the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We got to do better.
Mm-hmm. There was a grandmother. This one was 4 days ago.
Grandma laughing at the situation.
Yeah. No, we're not laughing. Oh,
no. Grandmother and grandson got shot on Detroit West Side.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Schoolcraft in Greenfield.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Guy come in the house and shoot both of them. And that sounded like a message to either the family or somebody else that they knew.
Wow.
You know, that somebody would just come into your house and shoot both of them. Grandmother, serious condition. The other one, the guy was in critical condition on that one. They haven't been able to provide any information on the suspect yet.
Okay.
But... that's a tough one. This happened in Chicago, but I thought it was worthy of talking about. A video show a woman getting raped in the back of a club while security guards stood by and watched.
Are you kidding me?
She's suing the club right now, and I'm certain the security guard company will catch some of the heat for that one.
So she getting raped in the back of the club.
In the back alley of the club.
Back, and so and they're saying a security officer saw this and did nothing to prevent it?
They did nothing. They on video.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm figuring they're going to say they didn't know she was being raped because she came out with somebody and she was sick. And I guess they were figuring the person was helping her. But then, I don't know. I don't know. It's going
to
be a...
Yeah, see, that could be something. We don't need to get into that because I got questions, but okay.
Everybody going to have questions on that one.
But no, see, but, I used to work sex crimes. So, like, you know, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm like, I got some questions.
But then, you know, the guys didn't even call 911. Apparently, this guy left her in the back of the alley. So that's going to be something to watch. We'll keep an eye on that one.
Interesting.
We got in Ohio, a domestic violence victim's daughter called 911 for pizza to get help.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that one too. Yep.
Yeah. Dispatcher say you got the wrong number, and the girl said, no, you ain't hearing me. I need some pizza at this address. And then the dispatcher called home.
Didn't catch that because I thought that was universal. So let's pause there for a minute because I know what that means. So, one of you guys can elaborate and tell our listeners what does that mean.
Go ahead, man.
That was a new one on me, so I'm
it was new on you?
I mean, there's some kind of catchphrases that dispatcher should have known, but that's a new one on me. Yeah. It might have took me a couple of minutes to catch it, you know. But
I mean, the dispatcher caught on,
right? You know,
asked a girl if she needed pepperoni or medical assistance. The girl said, "No, we just need help at this address." Gave the address. And told the police to come with no lights, no sirens, and they came silently and picked my man up.
Okay, so from my research, to elaborate on that, just so you guys know, and our listeners out there, for anyone that's in one of those situations, be it a hostage situation or domestic violence, you know, you're out there, you're trying to call and you don't want to
alert
the assailant, you call... like you're ordering a pizza, and most of the municipalities are supposed to know that when you call 911 and you say that you want to order a large pizza, that exactly that is happening. You're in some type of distress and you need help. So for those of you out there that don't know, most of your 911 operators should know that, and at that point you'll continue on ordering that pizza. Now, I'm not saying you need to add crazy bread and all of that. You just need to order a large pizza, pepperonis, give them your address, and they should be sending authorities again without the sirens and the light. So that's great. That's great. Good information there.
Yeah. So there was an 18-year-old killed a couple of days ago. Arguing with a man at a gas station. Say the guy pulled a pistol, fired shots.
Oh.
And he ended up dying from his wounds. Another woman shot behind the wheel on the west side.
Yeah. What is the world coming to?
Another shooting. A guy shot at his girl's or his kid's mother 14 times. Got into a shootout with police in Clinton Township at his apartment. He's locked up. And a suspect tried to rob the T-Mobile, and they just happened to have security there on the scene. And the security guard shot the guy 2 times. He went to the hospital, and they have that suspected robber in custody.
That was here in the Metro Detroit area?
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow.
They said, I think the West Outer Drive was where the strip mall was located at. The guy came in, announced it was a robbery. Security guard gave him 2, and he ran out. Ended up at the hospital. Police caught up with him.
Funny story, and I won't elaborate, but I actually used to work at T-Mobile, probably at that same location. Yeah, it's been some trying times in there over the years. So glad everyone in the store was safe.
It's the hood.
Yeah. All right, so let's roll in the. Oh, that one other story we're going to talk about. And that was the shooting of Officer McClain. That's steady in the news. We keep hearing about it, different things happening. We hear the law officer is suspended or lost his job, which I don't know which one it is. I'm hearing conflicting information now. But I hear he's out of work and he's got lawyers.
So just to back up, because I know Mr. Marlin is ready to jump in here.
I'm retired and still in the loop. That's crazy.
I'm going to give you a chance there. Right. But just to back up, we talked about this officer that unfortunately was killed in the line of duty a little over a week ago. And we're finding out this week that the supervisor that was on duty in that area, some things are being questioned about the way he was handling the situations. Right. So to get you caught up, and I'll turn that back over to you guys and get your input on it.
Yeah. So his partner was on Fox 2, dropped some information about who he was, what he meant, what a great officer, great partner he was. And then there's more information about other people that this suspect killed that week. Then the family's trying to raise some money for this person's funeral. So
this guy murdered more than this.
Yeah,
it's alleged right now. It's alleged. You know, he's wanted in connection with a couple of other situations that happened that week and something else prior.
We'll look into that and make sure that family is straight and taken care of. If not, we'll see if we can get something to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with Sergeant Kidd's situation, yeah, he did retain a lawyer. The department in
the
there.
Sergeant Kidd, this is the
That's the supervisor that was supposed to show up at the scene that didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The information that the department put out or the information that they gave the chief was incorrect. They were making mention of a prior incident where he was fired for cowardice. Number one, he wasn't fired. The union did their job because that was also – they made it seem like, oh, well, the union – no, they did what they were supposed to do. That's what they get paid for, you know. So I took that as them trying to put a jab at union busting. But the officer that was involved in that situation, she was not getting beat up. She was actually beating up a female suspect that they brought in. And that's the other thing. The chief said it was a male. No, it was not. At that time, Officer Kidd and his partner – I'm not giving any names, but that was Dan McKinley's former partner.
Damn, man.
But at any rate, they had.
Just making sure your pension is secure,
first of all,
right?
I wasn't even working there at the time.
No, so. But that, like okay. I told you before, that's going to be your partner forever.
Okay. I'll take that
side joke, folks. You don't need to know this.
Anyway, Officer Kidd and his partner that evening picked up a female juvenile from Henry Ford Hospital that was arrested in the second precinct. Officer Kidd did make mention of that to his immediate supervisor at the time, and they still told Officer Kidd to handle that run. So he picked up that female and took her to the second precinct. That was before we had the Detroit Detention Center. So they were taking at juveniles at that. Well, I believe they still are. I'm not sure. You either have to go to the second or ninth precinct to process juveniles.
So they went to the second precinct. The detention officer that was in the back antagonized that little girl. And the two of them got to fighting. At no time did the juvenile beat up the officer. It was the officer whooping on that kid. Officer Kidd at the time was just standing there watching. He had his handcuffs out. And just from when I observed the video, because they showed me the video because I was his union rep at the time, he had a look of confusion on his face as far as what to do. Apparently, his partner and other officers up in front heard the commotion. They came in the back and handled the situation. And then that's when charges of neglect, cowardice, this, that, and the other came up with him. And he wound up, you know, they wanted to fire him, but it due to arbitration, again, which is what the union is supposed to do.
Okay.
They gave him that 60-day or 60, well, however long it was, suspension. Then they want to put it with this situation, which you can add it or you can't. But I'm like, if you got to put the facts out there, right? And, right. You know, I'm just going to put it – for me, this seems like this is a tactic of deflection on some other things that happened with that.
It almost sounds like fake news.
I'll just say incorrect news, not fake, just incorrect.
Okay.
A lot of officers want Sergeant Kidd to be fired, this, that, and the other. And I get it. But my whole thing is he's still a person. He made a mistake, and it cost someone their life. But at the same point in time, look at the person that they got in custody. He's already been interviewed. He said he didn't want to go to jail. His family has said that on the news as well. So something was going to happen regardless of if Sergeant Kidd had showed up at that situation. The other instance that he's wanted for, like I said, I made mention of this maybe the last time I was here. All that would have happened was this would have happened sooner rather than later. The man has already said he has no intentions on going back to jail. So he would have shot and injured or killed another officer. Had Officer McClain not gone in that house and waited for SRT, you know, it would have wound up being a shootout. And I'm going to assume, since we have skilled SRT members, the suspect, he would have been killed instead of, you know, anybody else.
Okay.
You know, but like I said, you know, we can't Monday night quarterback. You know, the situation happened the way it did. And now we got to deal with it. But I'm like, if you're going to deal with it, deal with it correctly. You know, I'm a firm believer. Like I said, as far as I'm telling Officer Kidd's business, that should have been held in-house. The chief, none of that should have came out. I understand there's transparency, but I mean, my God,
not
everything needs to be put out there for the media, because my whole thing is Sergeant Kidd has family. They're not responsible for his actions. And also, this is the thing. Myself and other people have tried to reach out to him. He has not answered the phone. I'm like, what if this man does something to himself?
Well, we hope that's not the
exactly,
case.
He's just trying to
get some separation.
Exactly.
This unfortunate situation.
You know, like, yeah, he dropped the ball on this situation. You know, they've got some damning information on him, you know, the body camera that he was wearing, as well as the camera that was in the car he was driving, you know, that left some questions with upper management to why they're doing what they're doing. But I'm like, it did not have to be put out there for the media. And I'm like, if you're going to put it out there, do it right. But see, that would be another podcast, and I don't want to talk about the department.
Do you think they did that because we recently had some findings in the case down with the school shooting in Florida?
I would have to say yes, you know, just from working for the Detroit Police Department and the Wayne County Sheriff's Office, they do a lot of knee-jerk reactions. It's a bad time to be the police in any department. Everything is, you know, recorded. You know, you've got cameras on the streetlights. Everybody has a camera on their cell phone. I'm like –
the green lights.
The green lights. I'm like,
somebody, from what I hear, they want him held accountable for his actions.
Well, he should be.
You know what I'm saying?
He should be. He should be held accountable. But my whole thing is, you didn't have to put it out there for the media.
Right.
That all that should have been handled in house.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't have to have put it out there for the media. You know, again, like I said, this is something else that I'm not trying to go. I believe in professional courtesy. And I know a lot of people don't.
Okay.
And, you know, I was today, and like, you know, just from this incident, and I was watching a YouTube channel, Adjusty Adjusting. What it is, that's a YouTube channel where they get video of police officers messing stuff up. And, you know, I'm looking and I said, God, these people are right. Mm-hmm. We messed up on a whole lot of things. And I'm like, I said, I could see myself making the same mistake that these officers were making in these videos. And I'm like, I feel like I've wasted 22 years of my life because I'm like,
it's good. A new day, man.
It's a new day. Exactly.
Everything is on video.
Exactly.
Is under scrutiny.
That can have its benefits as well.
You know what I'm saying?
Too many times.
It's just like these. It's just like these phones. They're a curse and a blessing at the same time.
Right.
You know. So, you know, it's just a mess. I hope Sergeant Kidd gets through this. My heart goes out to McClain's family and Officer Beasy's family because, you know, I don't even know if he's going to be able to come back to work, you know. Mm-hmm. See, that's
you're
another.
Talking about the other officer.
That's the officer that was with him.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going to be able to walk correctly again or whether he's going to be able to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, see, that's another thing. You know, I'm like, when I first came on the job, if you died on the job, the city took care of your family. But that's not the case now. And, you know, I bring that up with Mike Todd. He was shot. I don't know if any of you recall this. This was back in, I want to say, 97, 90, 98. He was working with Officer Sean Bandy, and they mm-hmm. were chasing a kidnapping suspect. And they were behind the van, and the people in the van kicked open the back door, sprayed their car with automatic fire. Officer Bandy was killed immediately, and Officer Todd was blinded in one eye and rendered a cripple, more or less.
I mean,
and it, you know, they put him on the news when the city filed bankruptcy and cut off benefits and this, that, and the other. House was dilapidated, you know. The city's not taking care of his bills. And I'm like, okay, you know what? He's in this position because of what he did for the city. And y'all not taking care
doing
of him.
Doing his job, mm-hmm. protecting
He was doing servant. His job, protecting and serving. And y'all not taking care of him. I said, that's unexcusable and unacceptable. But the city still hasn't said anything about that. Mayor Duggan has talked about Officer Plain. Oh, he was a hero, this, that, and the third. I'm like, but guess what? You know, his wife has benefits and things will be taken care of for 6 months, and then they're not going to do anything.
Right.
Same with Officer McClain. He's being mentioned in the news right now. Mm-hmm. The minute all that stuff with his funeral and whatnot is done, right. they're going to forget him. All he is going to be a picture on the wall down at headquarters. No one is going to, you know— Because that was the other thing I saw. I saw this on YouTube. They made mention of how many officers had died recently, and it's been about 8. Mm-hmm. No one's made mention of any of them since their incidents have happened. Right. And Officer McClain is going to be put – he's going to be another number like that. And I'm like, we got to do better. Absolutely. You know, we had the city has to demand better of its leaders. And that it goes for the mayor, the city council. Y'all need to take care of these people. You need to take care of their families.
Right.
Because they wouldn't none of these men or women would be put in these situations had they not been working for the Detroit Police Department. You know,
great point.
This is the same thing with veterans, you know, because if you notice, you watch a lot of movies, it's veterans that complain about the government. They done seen the bullshit that the government does for them. Mm-hmm. Same with police officers. I'm a retired cop, so I'm complaining about what the city does and doesn't do, you know.
Right.
I've asked many active members to come on this podcast to speak, but they are scared.
We'll get them here most definitely.
No, yeah, they're
scared. We'll keep working at it.
We'll work on it.
Us and you, we're going to get them in here.
We'll work on it, but like I said, they're scared because, the department is going to jump on them for speaking the truth or the backlash.
Sure, yeah.
And I guess at some point, another retiree is coming, a former classmate of mine, mm-hmm. John Bennett. He's going to be on the show eventually, mm-hmm. And maybe he can address this as well. He created the website, Fire Jerry O. Yeah. And back then, that's when Mayor Kilpatrick was in charge, mm-hmm. and he had a police chief, Jerry Oliver, here. That, I have to say, that was the lowest point. No, it was one of the low points for the Detroit Police Department. And John put all of his business out there. The man was a wife beater. He just did a lot of stupid stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it should have been brought out. And because John was putting the truth out, they were messing with him. He had a nice desk job. Well, we're going to take that from you. But I'm like, all he was doing was telling the truth because y'all were doing something wrong, trying to hide stuff. And
right.
I'm like, and I'll tell this to every active officer, regardless of where you work, you have a Fourth Amendment right to speak the truth. And if your department messes with you, guess what? Get a lawyer.
First Amendment.
First Amendment. I'm sorry. Get a lawyer.
Fourth is search and seizure.
Well, you know, I was watching, get a lawyer. In the end, you're going to win, and whatever municipality you're going to have to pay you.
Right.
So just do it. So
before we move on, because most definitely it's always good to get your insight, Marlon. But for anyone just joining us, Dan, let's take a quick moment and tell our listeners out there how you can get in touch with us.
All right. You can get in touch with us on our 1-800 number at 1-800-951-4866. That's 800-951-4866. You can reach us on our website at AthenaProtections.com or any social media at Athena Protection Service.
And make sure you're hitting that like button, you're hitting that subscribe button, and also hitting that share button.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, before we move on, or as we move on, I should say these last minutes of the podcast today, you guys bring up some great points. Just to kind of recap, we talked a little bit about the unfortunate situation with the officer being killed in the line of duty in Detroit just a little over a week ago, and now the backlash that's come out and some information that, as we're hearing here from two people who have pretty good sources, either within or with former DPD, and finding out some of the news that's being put out there, unfortunately, is not correct. I joked a little bit earlier about being fake news, and as I was corrected, we're not necessarily talking about fake news, but just not so much all of the facts being correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll call it that kind of news.
Right.
But let's go ahead and finish up here. And what else did you guys want to talk about today?
I just want to cover a little bit. We're going to cover some holiday safety things. But one of the first things I want to talk about was sex trafficking. I didn't know this until this week. Michigan is number two in U.S. human trafficking in the United States, followed by Nevada.
I didn't know that either.
So there's a lot of people being kidnapped and not being found in Michigan. And we have a missing persons problem in Michigan. That I don't think get enough attention.
Well, if you go on YouTube, it's a lot of people, but it's a lot of black women across the country that are being reported missing and nothing's being done about that.
Right. So that's something that we want to bring some light to. This year, the FBI stated that 30 to 40 children were trafficked at the International Auto Show downtown.
Oh, wow.
In August of this year, the FBI recovered 11 trafficking victims to 9 children and 2 adults.
So these are kids. What were some of the age ranges? You had that information?
A lot of times it's between 7 and 13.
Wow.
A lot of times it's little kids. The younger, the better. They're snatching kids away from people at all kinds of places. So I was doing research online. They're taking kids from Walmart. They're taking kids from grocery stores. Taking kids from just Meijer parking lots. Wherever your kid may be and you're not paying attention, or even in the store, somebody will take your kid. So I think that it's important to not send your kid to go grab cereal while you're in the market, because somebody may take them while they're away from your site. So,
and you know, we always kind of like resort back to, I know my grandparents talked about it, how they walked up the hill barefooted to school, 5 miles one way, and all of this. Well, it's not those times anymore. So, yes, we need to be watching over ours. If we need to take them to and from school, like you said, something as simple as, no, baby, you can't go over there in the cereal aisle without me in this crowded Walmart.
Right.
You're going to be by my side the whole time. And it sounds crazy. I think they call it helicopter parenting, and they got all these fancy new catchphrases for the way people are being overprotective of their kids. Watch your kids.
There's reason to be. From what I'm seeing and these numbers of kids coming up missing, there's reason to be overprotective of your kids.
Most definitely.
Especially taking them to school and just them in situations where there's no one watching them. So also, the Uber safety, Uber Lyft safety. I saw a video of a young lady in Atlanta, said that she was called an Uber.
Okay.
And the driver canceled the trip when he got there and let her get in the car. She said she get in the car and she's on the phone with somebody. And she said one of the safety tips she gave is I always send my location to my family or friends. They always know.
That's a
good
idea. That's a very good idea.
So she gave the location and then she said she was leaving the club. She wasn't drunk. And she looked at his phone and his phone was off. And he started to drive away and her the Uber trip wasn't going on her phone or on his phone.
Okay.
So
I'm glad she caught that.
She caught it and asked him, why is the trip not moving? And then he hit his phone and the phone turned on. So then at that point, she was telling him to stop, which he wouldn't stop the car. And she ended up jumping out of a moving car because he was getting ready to take her who knows where and do who knows what. You know what I mean? So that was one of the things. One of the things that we talk about with Uber safety, always let somebody know where you are. Always make sure when you get in the car, it's the driver that Uber is showing you that person is.
Number one importance.
Make sure you in the right car. It's the right color. It's the right make, model, and it's the right driver. I saw there's some app where people are hacking into Uber and getting the information of the passenger and just pulling up and picking people up and taking people off.
That's interesting.
So I haven't found an app yet. They said it was on the iPhone, so I've been looking for it. If I find it, I'll let everybody know. But
so just to recap, or not even recap, just double back a little bit. When you're using these sharing apps, most definitely it's so important that you're sharing your location with somebody else. I know I have my son actually screenshot the Uber trip and send that to me so I see who's picking them up, like you say.
Right.
He's communicating with me when he was in the car and, you know, when he get out. And a friend of mine thought it was funny. And I said, no, you can't be careful enough in these situations.
Right.
Again, it's like getting in a taxi in the middle of the night.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know, you just never know. So great point.
So that make sure the child lock not engaged when you get back there. Make sure you can
another
open
good
that
point.
Door.
Can you get out
of some of the stuff I was trying to talk about?
I'm sorry, man. I'm just
no, no, no. You just putting it out there. Okay. That shows we are some professionals.
Yeah, that's what I had for the ride sharing. And like a lot of people out having fun, they out drinking. They want to, you know, not drink and drive. So they getting these rides
trying
from
to be responsible.
These apps and these ride sharings. Make sure you can get out of that car as soon as you can get in and make sure you can open that door. Make sure that driver's picture match the person that's in the car and make sure you're in the right car. Make sure somebody knows where you are and where you're headed to.
Great point. Marley, you want to touch on some safety issues?
Well, you know, we were going to talk about like a holiday safety, you know.
Okay.
And I'm just going to talk, you know,
time.
I'm just going to talk about, you know, online shopping because I'm assuming everybody, that's what everybody does now, more or less.
Man, I haven't been in the mall in a long
time. Yeah. Nobody's been in the mall. You know, I talked to some of my coworkers at my job, and I'm like, yeah, we were at Fairlane. I'm like, Fairlane's still open? Really? Wow. What, you know, like if you're doing a lot of online shopping, you know, most of those. You gotta watch out for the scams or the frauds, especially around this time. This is the holiday time when everybody's doing their shopping.
What are some things you would look
so,
at?
So, you know, a lot of real websites have the HTTPP. You gotta look at that.
Good point.
What else? Or you can go to a couple of other websites. You know, just go to shopping.com, pricegrabber.com, or nexttag.com.
Okay.
They have reviews and ratings for certain retailers. So, you know, check those out. Fake websites are prevalent. You know, you got to do your research. You know, if the price is too good to be true, it probably is, and you need to do some research because that's how all that identity theft comes up.
No, Flint Jordans.
Right. You can't get those for
$99.
Well, like I said, you can't get no Nikes for $30. They don't make Nike in China. You know, so that's a scam. You know, you got to be careful of who you give your information out to.
Good point.
So you got to be careful of that.
So a lot of that is phishing. So a lot of people, they'll get an email with these deals, exactly. And then it'll look legit, like Nike or Coach or, you know, whoever.
Any of the major brands.
Yeah, is sending you an email with this 80% off deal, and it is really to a fake website selling fake merchandise.
One other thing, secure servers begin with apostrophe HTTPS apostrophe rather than apostrophe HTTP apostrophe. So if you don't see that S, it's not secure. Okay. And you opening yourself up to all kind of problems. Mm-hmm. So you might want to look out for that.
We just talked about how everybody wants to shop online.
Yes. Yep. That, you know, as far as ATM machines, you got to be careful with that. You know, if it's late at night, don't use it. If you're in the mall when they have the machines right there, make sure nobody's behind you. Or if somebody's behind you, ask them to step away so that you can put your information in. You know, cause you're just opening yourself up for all kinds of trouble.
We joke about it, but that buffer zone, that personal space, we always kind of joke about our zone is a lot bigger than some other nationalities out there. And we say for the holidays, you need to have your black folks buffer zone up. You need to be about 5x5 away from me when I'm handling anything personal.
Exactly.
I don't want you over my shoulder trying to look at my text message, who I'm dialing. Right. Most definitely don't want you standing that close behind me while I'm conducting business at any type of, you know, the pharmacy, ATM, like you said, any of those things. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me a little bit of space and don't feel bad about telling somebody to get off my back.
Or sometimes be ignorant because I've done this and Carl and Dan gonna laugh at me. I done pulled my pistol. It's like, get the fuck away from me. Or I done pulled a knife. I'm like, if you don't get the fuck away from me, you know, say, hey, it's all about you got to protect yourself and your money. So, hey, you know, do what you got to do to keep yourself together.
Okay, so again,
I'm not going to recommend anybody pull a pistol out.
I'm my own kind of person.
Marlon is joking with y'all. He has never pulled this pistol at the Dairy Queen because the little girl was too close waiting on her
to pop something. Man, don't shoot. Some guy grabbed my daughter's ass at Fairly. Yes, I did.
That's different.
Yes, I did. I pulled the pistol on that guy. Yes, I did.
That's different. So you online shoppers that get, first of all, December, I read, is a 20% increase in robbery and personal larceny.
That's right.
Wow. So 1 in 3 Americans experience package theft for all you online shoppers have packages come to your house while you at work. You might want to see if you can have those packages delivered to work. And if you can't, you want to talk to your neighbors, see if you trust and know your neighbors.
Your neighbors, or have it delivered to a family member's house.
Or have it delivered to the post office so that you can go and pick it up. Those are just some options that you can use so you don't have people stealing stuff off your porch.
Great point. We see more and more of it. I have one of those doorbell apps that not only will alert me when someone's on my porch, but it also has a feature where people in my community, within about a 3 to 4 mile radius, maybe even a little smaller, things that are going on in your neighborhood specifically. Right. So, again, this time of year, and not even just this time of year, I think these are great safety points all time of year when it comes to shopping online, it comes to being aware of your surroundings. We talk about how to secure your packages at your home, thinking outside of the circle. If you know you work, have that package delivered to your house. Or if you got a retired neighbor, let them know that you're expecting the package. And communicating. We can't communicate enough. And that's our goal here at Athena Protection Services is we talk about these news things not to make the city look bad. Right. Our goal is not to slam the police department. We appreciate everything that they do. But we just want to make people be more aware of their surroundings, be safe. Right. The city of Detroit, I'm downtown a lot. I love where the city is going mm-hmm. in that aspect. But I'm also in the hood, too. So we don't want to forget about those areas. And I love the city of Detroit. I love the direction that it's going in. And we'll talk about it on another podcast. But be mm-hmm. smart and you know, don't give up on your city. Don't not go downtown because all of the police are down there. No, that's all the more reason to go and enjoy your city. Spend your money, spend your dollars in that city.
All the police downtown is majority the rookies. They don't know what they're doing. You know, so
again, that confidence of going downtown.
Well, okay, this is another podcast, but like I said, the Detroit police, when I came on, there was mm-hmm. 5,000 to 6,000 officers. Mm-hmm. You had different units, did this, that, and third. Right now, half the department has less than 5 years experience. You got right now, 1,600 to 1,800 officers.
Okay.
And out of that number, half the department has less than 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they don't know what they're doing. You know, so
they got an idea.
You
just old and hating on the young
officers. I'm not hating. I'm talking to the I'm still talking to senior officers that are telling me this. They mm-hmm. don't know what they're doing. I'll say this.
Then they need to teach them, man.
Okay, but
I got to be the devil's advocate here. If you got all this seniority, you can't have younger officers tell them they don't know what they're doing. Got all the experience.
That goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know.
Okay.
Nobody fails the FTO program. Nobody fails the hiring process. And then the people that are working at the academy, they trying to keep their job. You know, exactly. So they're pushing out so many people because they have to. They don't want to go back out there and deal with, can I say it on this website? They don't want to go back out there dealing with them niggas and that bullshit. So they're going to do what they got to do to keep that job. They're going to push them people through. You know, Craig doesn't know what he
– So
you know.
I got to interrupt you guys here because it's getting heated, and I love it. I love it. That's why we get you on the show.
You got to be willing to do your job.
And half these senior officers ain't willing to do their job. Or they scared.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they scared because of the repercussions if they want to.
Yeah, you can't be scared of the street.
So we got 30 seconds left here. I love to hear you guys go back and forth about this. I love the passion. But unfortunately, we at the end of another great podcast. Okay. I want to thank you, Merlin, for being here.
Tune in next week for the Fool's Story.
Dan, if you can let our listeners one last time before you go, let them know how they can reach us.
They can reach us on any social media platform at Athena Protection Service. You can reach us on our website at athenaprotections.com. Or you can reach us on our 1-800 number at 800-951-4866. You can also reach us on YouTube, which is where we're going to start putting all the videos, which they're already uploaded. Athena Protection Service, go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and like and share.
All right. Thank you. Hey, thanks again, everybody. Great show.
Subscribe, people, subscribe. I done told enough of y'all. Subscribe.
This ain't over.